Well, this is Chaitanya Bhagavat. We were hearing the ecstatic dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Madhya Lila, chapter 23. And we heard how the Lord visited the home of Kulavesha Sridhar. And he drank water from his old iron cup. And this iron cup was not even kept inside the house. It was kept by the door outside on the foyer, the entrance, the pravesh, old iron cup. And was cracked and was repaired many times. And it was kept outside the house because it was probably used for some type of outside work, latrine or whatever. Lord Chaitanya came and he drank water from that pot. It's unbelievable. And he wanted to teach, Lord Chaitanya did this. This is a review. He wanted to teach the whole world how valuable is the water, simply the water remnants of the Vaishnava, like Kulavesha Sridhar. Because generally, especially in Bengal in those days, and even now, people have some understanding, religious pious people have some understanding that the Uchishta, Bhukta Uchishta, the food remnants of a Vaishnava, they're something to get. Guru Prasad, Krishna Prasad. Everyone maybe heard this idea. At least Krishna Prasad. And Guru and Krishna are similar. But his water, plain water. I told the anecdote of how we would transfer the noon offering from the deity plates into some containers and bring them out to the devotees, the Mahaprasad. And then I'd wait a half hour or so and go and collect the transfer container and wash it and all these things in the kitchen, special place. And always what was left in the Maha transfer container was the plain rice and the dal. All the sabjis and puris were gone. All the sweets and chutney and pakoras, they were all gone from the Mahaprasadam. But the plain rice and the dal was also part of the noon offering. No, the devotees weren't so interested in that, quote, that Mahaprasad. And there's a funny story I've told before about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he asked one time, he said, Dayanidhi? He said, oh, Dayanidhi. When you take my remnants, Guru Prasad, after the Guru has lunch, you take my remnants and you give it to the brahmacharis. Who eats what? Which brahmachari eat what? Oh, so-and-so, no, Radharas Bihari, he always eats the rasgullas and this one, that one eats it. And then Bhaktisiddhanta said, who eats the stick sabji? You know, these sticks that grow on a tree, it's supposed to be healthy or something. You know, you chew it like that and then throw out the sabji stuck inside of it. Drumsticks. Yeah, look like a drumstick. So that, and he said, oh. And then he said, Bhaktisiddhanta said, this brahmachari, he's getting the mercy. He's actually getting the prasad, the guru prasad. He's getting the mercy of the guru. Why? How is that? All the brahmacharis are eating the remnants. And they should all be getting mercy, and they are. But he said that this brahmachari that's eating the drumsticks, he is not eating for sense gratification. He's just thinking, oh, the guru chewed on this, and this is his saliva, his adhara. So let me take this. But the other brahmacharis are thinking, oh, let's see. Oh, I want the rasgulla. I want the pakoras, I want the puris, cheese sabji. And then he's just waiting, oh, I'll take this. And that's like a rejected thing, useless thing. So now, but the water, just simply some water lying in a water cup left over from the Vaishnavas. Many don't have much idea about that. So Mahaprabhu, by his example, he wanted to teach everyone that This is the most relishable. There's one Vedic statement that says, Griniyad Vaishnavaj Jalam. One should accept water from a Vaishnava. If one drinks the water from a Vaishnava, he will get Vishnu Bhakti. That's how powerful it is. And we read that when all the devotees saw this, they were all crying in ecstasy. And we read the name of all the devotees, and they were amazed. What is our Lord doing? What is He doing? And everyone was crying and chanting the name of Krishna in ecstasy, and Gaurachandra was smiling. So now this Vrindavan Das Thakur continues more about this water, Jal Keli Leela, water Leela. A little bit different than Radha and Krishna's Nitya Leela at Radha Kund or Manasi Ganga, sometimes Pavan Sarovara, Radha and Krishna and gopis. They have this splashing water on each other. And Krishna usually loses. Because they surround him and gang up on him. And he has to say, stop, stop. And the gopis get so excited and carried away, they start smashing Krishna's garland. And then Radharani says, no, no, stop, stop. He's surrendered. Don't kick, we have a phrase in English, don't kick a man when he's down. Like you already knocked him down, he's lying, he's already lost the fight, he's lying there, then you go, oh, he's already down, you knocked him, but then you kick him. Don't kick a man who's already down. So Krishna's already been defeated and cried, uncle, uncle, or whatever, you know, cha-cha, cha-cha, whatever you say. And still, they wanted, one gopi had his flute stuck in his waist, you know, in his waist of his dhoti. And then one gopi, and they went to steal his flute, and they were pulling his Makara Kundala off his ears. His Makara Kundala they were pulling from his ears. Krishna was totally defenseless. He was practically unconscious because he was so much defeated by the barrage of water. So this is Jal Keli and Nitya Leela and Madhyan Leela at Radhakund and other places. But the Lord Chaitanya is also having, of course, he also splashes water with his devotees in Ganga. Ganga Maya Ki Jai. But this is water Jalpan Leela. Pan means drinking. And like we have Madhupan, this is Jalpan. So there's more he wants to teach from this. This is text 457, chapter 23. Loha jala patra tate bahirera jal parama adare pana kahilena sakal. It was an iron water pot filled with water meant for external use, yet Mahaprabhu affectionately drank all of it. Parama adare pana kahilena sakala. It wasn't that he just, oh, this is the water of a Vaishnava. Oh, that's nice. He drank the whole thing. He drank all of it. The entire thing. To really drive home the point that this is really good. If you're drinking something and it's not, you go, ooh, and you put it down. But something's good, you drink and drink and drink. And another cup and another, oh, this is very good. So the purport is that Mahaprabhu drank from the broken water pot of Sridhar. And by this he taught the entire world how to respect and honor devotees. Paramarte pana iccha haila jakane sudamrita bhakta jal haila takane. When Mahaprabhu developed a transcendental desire to drink, paramarte pana iccha. Well, that's pretty interesting. Imagine your itcha can be paramartic. You understand? Arta. Art means a regular object. Something that you want. Some valuable object. Art. Dharam, art, kamoksh. So this paramarta means transcendental value, transcendental object. Spiritual, religious, dharmic. Yes? Paramartic means religious. So paramartic. Pana Icha. Pana means water, drinking. It means, in Bengali, it means to drink, also Sanskrit. Madhupan. So he had a religious desire to drink water. Why? Why is it called religious desire? Can you imagine? A paramarthic. Most people's desires are not paramarthic. They're calm. They're simply byproducts of calm bhav. Calm bhav is moving their chitta and producing so many vasanas and desires arising from that stimulated samskara. But it's not paramarthic pana icha. It's religious because it's related to a devotee. He wants to drink not any water from anybody's cup. He wants to drink the water from the remnants of a devotee from a devotee's cup. So then it becomes religious because of the context or the connection. And what happened to that water, Sudamrita Bhakta Jala, that water became the purest nectar. This is the effect of the consciousness. That's why when devotees, they perform achvan and doing puja, then they put water in their hand. But first they make a mudra. It's supposed to look like the ear of a cow. Hold your fingers like this, like a cow's ear. There's the names for these. The different parts of the hand have different names. There's muk, there's like we have dakshin muk and all these types, dakshin muk hanuman. So there's different mouths of the hand. There's one mouth here, there's one mouth here, and there's one mouth here. And when people drink water, usually they cup their hand like this and they drink like this, isn't it? Have you ever had water? So they drink through this mouth. But when we do achvan, we don't do achvan through this mouth, we do achvan through this mouth. Anyways, this is some tantric. This is part of the tantric aspect of Vaishnava puja, white tantric. Narada Pancharatra is tantric literature. So this is the cow's ear. And I forget, there is names for these different mouths I saw in the deity worship book. So it's not enough just to put the water in the hand. And we purify the right hand, then we purify the left hand, then we take the water and we put three spoons. But then we're supposed to look at the water. I think maybe I was telling some people when they're getting Harinam, because they were doing achvan. I was teaching how to do achvan on the spot. So we're supposed to look at the water and surcharge that, make that water transcendental by putting mantra inside. I mean, the water may be Ganga Jal. We've called the Ganga Jal with Ankush Mudra. We call the Ganga Jal to the cup. But now when it gets in your hand, you say Om Keshavaya Namaha. So you're supposed to look, your drishti. So you chant the mantra and you look at this cow's ear and you chant the mantra. Om Keshavaya Namaha. Then you drink through this mouth. Like this. You know, everyone knows, but there's a whole tantric explanation behind it. Why? But the same thing, because this water, when it contacted the devotee's hand and the mantra, and the mantra was invested in the water, that water became Amrit, Sudamrit, Nam Amrit. The water becomes full of the Keshav Nam, Om Keshavaya Nama, Om Madhavaya Nama, Govindaya Nama. Then you take. In the same way, when Prahlad Maharaj, when his father, Hiranyakashipu, gave him poison, here, Prahlad, have a cup of poison, Vishpana, drink some poison. It was some Mosambi juice or orange juice or something. And then he held the cup of water and he looked at it and he thought, oh, this is such a nice thing. Vishnu, please Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. He was a Vishnu Bhakta. He was always doing Vishnu Smaranam. So he was always, with his mind and with his mantra, he was always connecting every object in his environment with Vishnu. Smartavya, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu. Smartavya Satatam Vishnu. This is a Vedic aphorism. We should always, Satatam, we should always remember Krishna. Of course, Krishna makes it easy in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Gita Upanishad. And he says, because the Vedanta, not the Vedanta Sutra, but the Upanishads are saying, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu. Always, Satatam, always remember Vishnu. And someone might say, well, that's difficult. So then Krishna says, no, it's easy. What is that? Kirtiyanto mam, right? So Krishna is telling Gita, Satatam Kirtiyanto mam, always chant. So if we're always doing kirtan, then it's easy to remember Krishna. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, Vishnu smaranam. This is what Lord Chaitanya, he took this water and connected to the devotee. He wanted to honor that devotee's water. And as soon as he thought of the devotee and thought of serving a devotee, everything became nectar, sudamrit. So as soon as we think of devotees, the conclusion of this shloka, as soon as that we think of devotees and how to honor devotees and how to serve devotees, and everything becomes sudha, becomes nectar. Bhakti bujaite se e mata patre jal paramarte vaishnavera sakala nirmal. Kauranga Mahaprabhu drank water from such a pot of Sridhar, Kolaveshya Sridhar, to reveal the glories of devotional service and to show that from the spiritual point of view, everything belonging to a Vaishnava is pure. Paramarte Vaishnavera Sakala Nirmal. That's why the verse, Vrindavan Das Thakur, we heard this word before, Parama Adhar. Parama Adhar. Parama Adhare Pan Kaila Sakal. That Lord Chaitanya, when he picked up that broken iron cup of Kolaveshya Sridhar, he did it with so much Adhar. Paramadhar, the supreme, topmost respect. Oh, this is the Loha Patra. This is the Jai Jagannath. This is the water cup. So Lord Chaitanya, Parama Adhare, he picked up Kolaveshya Sridhar's iron water cup with so much respect and regard. Oh, this is the water cup of a great Vaishnava. Can you imagine? When the devotees used to sit in Prabhupada's room and see Prabhupada in the evening darshan, sometimes in Mayapur in his room, or sometimes in the morning, different devotees would be there, they would observe how Prabhupada would handle everything. Handle means touch. And it was always remarked that Prabhupada, because of course he's fully, perfectly Krishna conscious, every object in his environment that he picked up or moved, he did it with such, first of all, such grace, but primarily so much respect and so much of expressing his pure Krishna consciousness, that Prabhupada is actually seeing Krishna in every object. And devotees would explain what they observed and what they felt. Prabhupada would lift up, someone would say, Prabhupada, here's a new edition, new Spanish publication of the second canto of Bhagavatam. So they would present it to Prabhupada so Prabhupada could look at it. So then he would reach over. And so so carefully and so respectfully, Parama Adhare, Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, Lord Chaitanya is lifting the iron water cup of Kolaveshya Sridhar, his pure devotee, who is Madho Mangal in Krishna Leela, with Parama Adhare, the utmost, topmost expression of respect and honor. Oh, this is the water cup of my devotee, and I'm going to drink water from his cup. So we got to see, hands on, we could see Prabhupada. But most of us, especially ourselves, were such passionate and crude and such passionate, crude beings that have no regard for ourselves or anything else in the environment, and throw this here and this there and this that, that, top, top. So it's not the ideal that we should have. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his every movement, his every statement, his every action is a teaching. For whom? For us. Because he's the ideal, perfect devotee. He's a Param Bhakta. He's Bhakta and Bhagavan. Such a wonderful pastime, and it goes on. He's describing more about this whole pastime. Lord Chaitanya is teaching that everything belonging to a Vaishnava is pure. Now in this next series of verses, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he counterbalances on one side, how does the Lord see the non-devotee. And how does he see the devotee? Although there's Gita is telling, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dresyu Stanapriya, that Krishna is equal. He has Samadrishti, Samadarshan. He looks equally upon the good or the bad man. But then we see if someone is affectionate and surrendered to him, he takes special care for him. It's common sense. A mother may be very broad-minded and have very much a loving heart, very soft and caring, affectionate heart. So she loves all children. She likes to care for them. But you can ask the mother, well, do you care for your own children more than the children across the street? And invariably she'll say, yes, of course. That is natural. So those children of God, who are all of us, we're all children of God, but those that actively and voluntarily submit themselves to God and come under His direct maintenance and shelter, Goptritve Varlam Tata, we become Rakshishyatiti Vishwaso Goptritve Varlam Tata, we become dependent on Him and repose all of our faith and conviction in Him and surrender to His maintenance and guardianship, then he extends special affection for His devotees. And He interacts with them. And He enters their heart and minds and encourages them. Yes, read the Bhagavatam today. Yes, chant japa, like that man asked in the morning. Man asked a question. Every day, he's a new man, not initiated. Every day I chant Hare Krishna mantra. And every day I read the Bhagavatam. But Swamiji, how do I know that I'm advancing in devotional service? And I said, the very fact that you are chanting every day and reading every day is proof that you're advancing, because Krishna is giving you some ruchi. He's giving you that encouragement and that inducement and that determination and enthusiasm to wake up in the morning and say, hey, I want to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hey, I want to read. No one's standing in your room when you wake up. Hey, pick up those beads. Oh, yes, yes, sir. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay, pick up this Bhagavatam, read. Yeah. Okay. Okay. There's nobody. Nobody's holding a gun to the head. So I said, Krishna's, he's doing that. This is not ruchi in the purest sense, but it's ruchi avas. Ruchi comes. Prabhupada tells that in the introduction of Nectar Devotion. That everyone is impelled, or propelled, you could say impelled and propelled in the path of action, even fruit of action, because of some rasa. It's jadaras. It's called jadaras, the taste of stones. Because jada means stone, actually. Jada. So the jada ras means the prakriti ras, the taste that people get from material pleasure. That's a rasa. But it's not bhakti ras. It's not a combination of mixture of different bhavas and that happen at the high states of devotional ecstasy. That is not that rasa. So we, even the beginning bhakti, he's getting some bhakti ras abhas. Bhakti ras abhas. A semblance of bhakti ras. Something. It's real. It's really bhakti. But it's not the pure drops of nectar. Bhakti amrit. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Right? So now he goes on to explain this, how the Lord has differential behavior with the devotees and non-devotees. Dambikira ratna patra divya jalasane achukka pibhara karya nadeke nayayane Yese dravya seva kera sarva bhave kai naive dyadi vidira o apeksha nahi chai alpa dravya dasayo nadile balkai tara sakshi brahmanera kuda dwarakai avasheshe seva kere kare atmasat tara sakshi vanavase yudhishthira shak Sevaka Krishnara Pita Mata Patni Bhai Dasa Bhai Krishnara Dvitiya Aranai Jai Rupa Chintaye Dase Sei Rupahai Dase Krishne Karivare Pareye Vrikai. Vrindavan Das Thakur Ki. He says, even if the Lord is thirsty, He will not even look or glance at the water offered by a proud person, even if it's offered in an opulent, jeweled-studded, golden water cup. The Lord eats with full satisfaction. Sarva bhave. That's the translation. Dravya seva karat sarva bhave kai. In other words, when he eats from the hand of a sevak, the dravya means the object, any object given by a sevak, a Krishna sevak, then the Lord is sarva bhav, he's experiencing bhav. We also experience bhav at the Sunday feast, no? Something. The Lord eats with full satisfaction any item offered by His servant, regardless of whether the offering was made according to regulations. Even if His servant does not offer an item because He considers it too insignificant, the Lord forcibly eats it. The evidence of this was when the Lord ate Sudama Brahmana's broken rice in Dwarka. The Lord even accepts the remnants of His servants. This was seen during the Pandavas' exile to the forest when the Lord ate the remnants of Yudhisthira's leafy vegetables. Krishna's father, mother, wife, and brother are all His servants. Krishna does not recognize anyone other than His servants. The Lord accepts the form that His servant meditates on, and Krishna's servant can even sell him. Jai Rupa Chintaye Dase Sei Rupahai. Purport. The Supreme Lord forcibly yet affectionately takes even an insignificant item that is given by His poor devotee. And the Lord ignores items offered according to proper etiquette by wealthy, proud persons. There's a beautiful story about Madan Mohan, Thakurji Madan Mohan. He was living in Mathura. Originally, he was discovered, at least most recently, he was discovered by Advaita Acharya in Vrindavan, in a place called Advaitavat, below Dwadasaditya Tila, where the Madan Mohan temple was originally built in 1590. 1580 actually it opened, and 1590 Radha Govindaji opened. So first was Madan Mohan, naturally, then Govindaji, Gopinath. So this deity went, and below that hill there was a banyan tree on the banks of the Jamuna. Vat means banyan tree. And Advaitacharya came to Vrindavan before Lord Chaitanya came and before Rupa and Sanatan, and he was touring. And while he was under that banyan tree, he had a dream that Madan Mohan was in the earth. So he excavated the earth and he revealed Madan Mohan. So he was worshipping them there under that tree. And you can visit that place today and visit Advaita Vat. It's developed quite nicely by the Goswami families there. And that deity, when Advaita decided to go back and hide himself in Nandanacharya's house, as Nityananda also did, then he went to Mathura and he left that deity with one brahmana named Purushottam Chobe. Purushottam Chobe immediately built a nice temple for that deity of Madan Gopal. Actually, when Advaitacharya had the dream of this deity, or let's say Krishna in that Archamurti form, he said, "Listen, Baba, oh Baba, I am in this bushes here. I'm under the dirt, like Nathji, and I'm Gopal. I'm a little boy, and I'm so hungry. And can't you please just give me something to drink and something to eat?" So when he brought him from the bushes, he said, oh, he's captivating my heart. He's more captivating, more attractive than Kamadev or Cupid. Madan. Madan. Madan means Cupid. Or Kamadev, the lord of lust or god of material love, attraction. So he said, he's Madan Gopal. Avaitacharya gave him the name Madan Gopal. I mean, his name was already Gopal. So he left the deity of Madan Gopal with Purushottam Chobe, and Purushottam Chobe began to worship Madan Gopal. And at the same time, Purushottam Chobe had a young child, a young son, who was also named Gopal. Or maybe he was named Govinda, I don't know. Or maybe he was named Dauji, Balaram. I don't remember his name. I don't know if it's given. So the son was very much chatur, clever, playful type. And his wife would cook the offerings for Madan Gopal and make the deity offerings. But sometimes she would go to make the offerings and the Gopal wouldn't be in the temple room. He would be in the backyard. He would go to the backyard of the house, the land behind the house. He was playing with her son Govinda. So the deity of Gopal became Gopal and they were playing together and wrestling and then her son was saying, hey, this is not fair, you lost, you're supposed to give me Mahaprasad. And then she said, listen boy, stop fighting. And so she would call Gopal and say, come, I made your breakfast now, you come on the altar and sit down. So then Gopal would come on the altar and sit down and be very, because when the mother gets angry, the children get very obedient. You know, hey, sit down here. The offering's ready, all the bowls are there, the bell, I'm ringing the bell, you're out running around the backyard. Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh. And then comes in. So then he would eat. But then sometimes when she was cooking, and then he was, Gopal would be playing and the two boys would be hungry. So they would come in the kitchen and they're pulling, pulling on her dress, come on, we want to eat. And so she was still brushing her teeth. She had some neem twig and she was outside. And they said, come on, come on. And she had this neem datun. Datun? Neem datun. And she was cleaning her teeth with that. And they said, come, hurry up, cook. And she said, well, I'm doing that. And no. And they were crying. So she went in and she started making khichdi. And she was going and stirring it. She was stirring the khichdi with her neem datun. And going like this. And then it just so happened that Sanatana Goswami would do, this is Sanatana Goswami, afterwards, after Avaitacharya went back to Bengal, then Rupa and Sanatana came, Bhugarbha came at Lokanath, and then Rupa and Sanatana. And he was doing Madhukari, Sanatana Goswami was doing Madhukari, baking some roti, or some atta, whatever, from these Brijvasis in Mathura, Brahmin family. And he came there, and one day he saw that the deity was playing with her son. And he said, this isn't right. You know, your deity can't just go and you have to keep the deity in the altar. You can't take the deity in the backyard and play with your son. He said, I'm not doing anything. He runs there by himself. And then another day he came and she was like this, you know, stirring the khichdi with a neem datun. And then he said, what is this? This is not the proper rules and regulations of deity worship. You don't use your neem datun to stir the Thakurji's khichdi. And she says, what can I do? You know, he's pulling on my thing, you know, pulling my sari. And then he said, no, you have to do everything properly. And take a bath, clean your teeth, take a bath, change your clothes, and you cook and then you serve. And so she said, yes, Babaji Maharaj, yes, Sanatana goes, this, that. So next day she bathed and this and that, and it takes some time. And then the boys are really, oh, we're hungry. What's so long? You're bathing, dressing, this, that. Oh, hungry. So she followed the Baba that one day, and then she, and they were crying, why we're so hungry, we can't eat, and this and that. So next day she said, forget that Baba. So she got her neem datun, and she was making again the khichdi, because no time, she has to do everything, brush her teeth, cook everything. And the boys, hungry. So he came and he said, what is this I told you? She said, I don't care. The boys are hungry. And then she said, what do you mean the boy? And he said, where is the deity? He said, he's right here. Then he realized, oh, there's something special about this Gopal. And then that night, when he didn't say anything, he didn't chastise the lady. That night when he had a dream, and Gopal came and snuck in his dream and said, "Listen, I want tomorrow when you come, I want to come with you to Vrindavan. And you can cook without neem twig. You can cook for me without a neem dantun and follow all the proper rules and regulations." So that's how Madan Gopal came to Vrindavan with Sanatana Goswami, and then he became known as Madan Mohan. Jai ho, Madan Mohan ki jai. So the Lord, this is an example, as Vrindavanas Thakur is telling us, that even if the devotee does not, the offering is not made according to regulations, the Lord will eat with full satisfaction. Sarva bhave kai. Even if there's the vidhi is apeksha, even the vidhi is not there, the proper rules and regulations are not there. If that devotee is offering it, then the Lord will be there. As long as there's a devotee, the Lord is there. If there's no devotee, it doesn't matter. Everything else is there, but the Lord won't be there. As soon as the devotee is there, the Lord is there, whether it's flat rice or chipped rice or chapan bhog or whatever it is. This is the power of the devotee. Text 466. Vrindavanas Thakur goes on. Sevaka Vatsala Prabhu Chari Vede Ghai Sevakarastane Krishna Prakashe Sadhai. The four Vedas declare, the Lord is affectionate to His servants. That's a quote. Chari Vede Ghai Sevak Vatsal. Krishna always manifests Himself to His servants. Sevakarastane Krishna Prakashe Sadai. Sevakarastan. We have Leelastan. So the Sevak, the Sevaka, the devotee of the Lord, he's actually a stan. He's a place where the Lord manifests Himself. And we say, Leela Bhumi Vrindavan, Braj Bhumi, Leela Bhumi. Leela Stali, Leela Stan. The Sevakara, he's also the Lord. It says, Sadai, he's always manifesting there. Krishna Prakasha. Krishna Prakasha Sadhai. Krishna Prakashe Sadhai. He's always manifesting there. He's manifesting in the words of the devotee. He's manifesting in the glance of a devotee. He's manifesting in the influence of a devotee. And he's manifesting directly in the heart of the devotee. Govinda Vishram. He's always resting in the heart of the devotee. So this is a very nice, this whole dialogue of this section of Chaitanya Bhagavat is all about the dynamic interplay and sweet affectionate, the sweet affectionate dealings between the Lord and His devotees. So when one hears about the intimacy that Bhagavan shares with His devotees or sevakas, and he hears the humility that the Lord displays in that loving bondage, actually any sensible person will become very much attracted. Oh, that Lord that we're hearing about, that Prabhu, that Krishna, that Gauranga, this is a very extraordinary personality. Such affection, such submission, such dedication to His servant. And I'm also a servant of that Lord. And I can be a servant of that Lord. And I can qualify myself to be one of those servants with that intimate bond of love and share that affection and experience that intimacy with the Lord one-on-one. That is open for every jiva, every human being. So this shastras, in one sense, are not only depicting pastimes and tattva, but they're also a type of nirmantran. Nirmantran means invitation, I believe so. Nirmantran. It's an invitation. As Prabhupada said, at least I think so, or we hear that he said it, these paintings done by his disciples, by the artists, ISKCON artists, these are windows to the spiritual world. Is that right? Prabhupada said, we hear that. These paintings are windows to the spiritual world. Jadarani and Bharadwaj and Murli Vadan and all those different Parikshit, all those paintings. So these books, these shastras, are invitations to a loving relationship with Krishna. The Chaitanya Bhagavat is Mahaprabhu's nirmantran. Listen, hello. He says, please, would you like to come to a Gauranga's party? Oh, yeah. This is a very nice invitation here. Come join my dance of love. Come experience my warm embrace, my tender glance, my affectionate words. This is Lord Bhagavan's nirmantran. It's such a sweet invitation. Now, each one has every book has your name on it. You open the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says Mohan Rupa. He opens it up, it says Dayanidhi. And he opens it up, it says Radharasa Vihari Das, or Krishna Dasi, or whatever. Hey, look. Hey, I got your Chaitanya Bhagavat has your name on it. Yeah. This is Mora Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is Mora Chaitanya. This is my Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is Mora Govinda. This is Mora Gopal. This is Mora Gauranga. Mora Gauranga. This is my Gauranga. And he gave me a nirmantran. Everything about the Lord of Personality is personal. Right? Like that song by Vallabhacharya, Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madhuram. Akila, you know, Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madhuram. It says, Gamanam Madhuram, Leela Madhuram, Venam Madhuram, Yamuna Madhura. Everything is sweet about Krishna, Madhupati, about Krishna, the Lord of Sweetness. So everything is personal. Sweet and personal. Sweet personality. Sweet and personal. This is Krishna. That's why we're captivated. That's why we're goners. As they say, we're goners, we're lost. We can't turn back. It's difficult to go forward, but we can't turn back. We're trapped. We're prisoners in a land of love. Interesting, isn't it? Prisoners in a land of love. This is Gauranga's Leela. We're all in it. We're in Gauranga's Leela. We're in Gaur Leela. Krishna's Leela. We're slaves. Happy slaves. slaves with a smile. That's Krishna Bhaktas. You want to see a smiling slave? Go to a Krishna temple. But if you go anywhere else and you see slaves, they're not smiling. They're just waiting to kill the master anytime they get. The first opportunity to get to poison the master or to kill the master, they'll do it. Give me the chance. Just give me the chance. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. But then our temple commander says, hey, do this. Oh, yes, sir. We say, yes, sir. But we smile. Okay, Hare Krishna. Have you ever heard the expression, a feast for the eyes? A feast for the eyes. You see something beautiful. Oh, a feast for the eyes. For the eyes of the Lord, the devotees are a feast for His eyes. And for the devotees of the Lord to see the smiling face of the Lord, that is a feast for our eyes. And it begins in the Bhagavatam when the gopis are, when they come down, when Krishna is coming back from cowherding, they see Him. It says, Nayan Utsav. The Sanskrit is there. It says, Nayan Utsava. Nayana means the eyes and Utsav means the festival. When the gopis see Krishna returning with the goduli, the dust of the cow's feet and is sprinkled in his hair, and then they see, oh, this is a festival for the eyes. Even the gopis are feeling that seeing Krishna is a festival for the eyes. And Krishna seeing the face of the gopis, obviously, is another kind of maha utsav. Mahotsav. Text 467. Nayana, that's very interesting. Nayana Bhariya Deka Dasira Prabhav Hena Dasi Bhave Krishna Kare Anurag. Behold the influence of the Lord's servants to the full satisfaction of your eyes. Nayana Bhariya. Nayana Bhariya Deka Dasira Prabhav Das Das Anudhas. Dasara Prabhav, look with your eyes, Deko, Nayana Bhariya, deeply look, deeply behold the effect, the prabhav, the influence, the power of Krishna Das, Krishna Dasi. Once Krishna Dasi, she decided to teach Bhagavad Gita. She hardly even read the Bhagavad Gita, but she got inspired to teach Bhagavad Gita to some housewives in her community. So Krishna Dasi starts having a Bhagavad Gita class. She was actually reading it at the same time she was teaching it. But somehow, she starts teaching the Bhagavad Gita. It's called on-the-job training. She's learning, reading the Bhagavad Gita and teaching it. And first 5 or 6 ladies came, then 10. Pretty soon, 20 ladies are coming to her Bhagavad Gita class every week, month after month. And they're saying, oh, Krishna Dasi gives such a good class. Now we started chanting japa, we're reading, we bought Prabhupada's books. What if such power, this one little housewife starts holding a class in Bhagavad Gita and this happens? And it happens hundreds of times all over Delhi when the congregation, this is how the congregational preaching spreads. This is Dasara Prabhav, the influence of the devotees. They simply open their mouth and it gives Krishna such great satisfaction. And we can see, right in front, we say, this is amazing. Nayana Bhariya Deka. Just see with their eyes the great effect and great prabhav of the Krishna's devotees. And then become attached to Krishna in that mood of service. Alpahena na maniha. Krishna dasanam. Alpa bhagye dasanahi kare bhagavan. Do not consider the designation Krishna Das, a servant of Krishna, as something insignificant. For the Supreme Lord does not accept a less fortunate person as a servant. Apa bhagye dasa nahi kari bhagavan. So if someone has that fortune, that bhagya, to be designated or to be known as Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi, he is really very, very fortunate. It's not an insignificant position. It's the most significant position in the material world. Who is Krishna Das? Lord Brahma is Krishna Das. He's a servant of Krishna. He is one of the biggest people in the universe. Indra is a servant of Krishna. The biggest demigods are servants of Krishna. Before Krishna, everyone is a servant. So we are fortunate to be able to be those servants of the Lord. And that's mentioned, the same point is mentioned. The topmost persons of this material world are engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. That's obvious. The object of service is pleased only by service. The endeavor to fulfill the desires of the object of service is called bhakti. This conviction is manifested in the hearts of the most fortunate persons. Since the relishable taste of the Lord's service is not a subject matter of unfortunate people's realization, their good fortune is burned to ashes. The Supreme Lord does not award his service to such unfortunate people. Bhagya, fortune, is measured in the Shastras. They give some measurement or criterion to determine who is fortunate and who is unfortunate. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhir. They say this is the standard of measurement to see who is fortunate in this material world and who is not fortunate. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhir. If someone has a very high birth in the caste system, there are 4 varnas and 4 ashramas. So someone is born in a very high varna, Brahman or Kshatriya, it's considered bhagya. He's a bhagya jeev. He's a fortunate person. He's born in one of the higher classes of the 4 classes, Brahman or Kshatriya. Janmaishvarya. Now even more fortunate if he happens to be a Brahman and they're Aishvarya, they're wealthy. They have lots of opulence, money, name in the community, fame. There are such personalities, very, very wealthy, rare, of course, such a combination to be a Brahmin and to be very wealthy, but they exist. And then Janmaishraya Shuta. Shuta means Shuti. Chaturvedi. Chaturvedi Brahman. Trivedi Brahman. They are Shastra Nipun. They are Vidvan. They're very learned in all the Shastras. They have so many titles of the, they've accomplished Sanskrit awards and whatnot. Then Shuta Shri Bhir. Shri means bodily beauty, like movie star. And Bhir means strength, physical strength, and also means strength of fame. That you are famous, that's a type of power, to be world famous, this or that. Being world famous actor or whatever. So someone who has these things, they say, oh, he has it all. But in the eyes of God, such a person may have all this bhagya, all this material bhagya or fortune, high birth, beautiful body, fabulous wealth, incredible learning and education. So Krishna is saying that bhagya means not to have all these things, but to if you have those things and you have Krishna's service and you're Krishna's servant, then you're really super mahabhagya. But if you have all these things, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribir, and you're not a servant of Krishna, and you have not attained that fortune, then all your acquirements and all your, let's say, bhagya is zero. Prabhupada uses that analogy. If you have a bank account, oh, what's your bank account? Oh, check out my passbook. Zero, 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 zero. Acha. Doesn't look too good. But if it's 0000009 in the front, now that looks pretty good. You have 9 lakhs, right? 900,000. So the Prabhupada said, all these things we have, material assets, but without Krishna, it is all one big
zero.
Goose egg. Goose egg, we say. Zero. So this is Vrindavan Das Thakur is reminding us and trying to make us all feel good that as the Lord, He exalted, Mahaprabhu exalted His devotee, His simple, humble devotee, simply selling a few banana leaves and some bananas. And He came and honored Him by drinking water from His old beat-up, broken iron cup. Because He's a pure servant of the Lord. So this is a very high, this is the highest fortune where the Lord will drink from your hand. The Lord will eat food from your hand. Even though you have rags on your back, you're dressed in rags. Secondhand cloth you picked up from the river. From the Ganga River you found some old cloth, you picked it up, washed it, put it out in the sun, and you made a dhoti out of it. That was Sudama Brahman's dhoti. On his chudder. And he went off to Dwarka, dressed in these niggardly clothes, tattered, used clothes. They were, as Prabhupada uses the term, they were soiled, but not dirty. Soiled means they may have some oil stains or something in them, but they're washed in water, and they're dried in the sun and the fresh air, so they actually become pure when cloth is washed. Although they may have some stain from oil or whatever in the cloth, it's not pukka white. So it's soiled, but not contaminated, because it's been washed and purified by water, sun, and air. So that's what he showed up in. And tied up in that old beat-up cloth, in the corner of the cloth was some broken rice. Because he would beg in the marketplace for food. And so the store owners gave him the worst possible rice. I remember once when I was in Radhakund, I used to buy bhajra, from one shop owner to feed the birds on the roof of the Gopal Mandir, the parrots and whatnot. Monkeys also eat the same, and squirrels. Everybody ate that stuff. So every day we feed them 20, 30 parrots. The point I'm making is this rice that he cheated me by selling me was useless. Even animals can't eat it. And that's what was begged by Sudama. It says chip. Sometimes they say flat rice. So, oh, chipped rice. Okay, I have that one. You know, chipped rice, chidwa, you know, some peanuts, this, that. Okay. He gave Krishna some flat rice. Now it says broken rice. It's broken, you know, broken rice is like 5 rupees a kilo. It's practically worthless. It's stale. It's all broken, no taste. That's what he had in his cloth. That's all he had at house, is a little bit of broken rice that he was eating. And they lived under an imli tree, so that some imli leaves would fall, and they mix in the broken rice, and that's what Sudama was eating. That was his chapon bhog. So he went off, "Oh, my Lord." And then, "Oh, you have, Sudama, you have some delicacy from me. You come from Hastinapur. You come from Delhi. Now you're in Dwarka, from one big city to another. You must have something there. Oh, let me see your wrapper." And he, "Oh, yeah, very good." He ate everything. Actually, there's different commentaries. Sometimes they say eat everything. Sometimes they say eat half. And then Rukmini grabbed his hand. And said, "No, that, my Lord, that's enough. You've already fed the whole universe. By eating half of his rice, the whole universe has already become satisfied. Please stop." So this is the loving exchange between the Lord and his devotee. How much he'll reciprocate. So it's not a small thing to be a devotee. Baho koti janma jay karila nija dharma ahimsara amyaya kare sarva karma aha aharanisha dasya bhave jay kare pratan ganga labhyahaya kale bali narayan. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, one who for many millions of lifetimes executes all his occupational duties with sincerity and non-violence, and who day and night prays to the Lord in the mood of a servant, ultimately remembers Narayan at the time of death. The purport says, by praying for the service of the Supreme Lord, one attains the good fortune of chanting the name of Narayan and entering the waters of the Ganga at the time of death. This idea of Ganga means that he will be, after he dies, he will be cremated and his ashes will be sprinkled on the Ganga, which is told in the story of Bhagirathi. King Bhagirathi brings the Ganga to the earth planet, and then King Bhagiratha, and after King Bhagiratha brought the Suraduni Ganga to the earth planet, then the Ganga became known as Bhagirathi. And he brought the Ganga there because it was told that his 60,000 sons who were burned to ashes, so they had an automatic cremation by the sage Kapila. Kapila glanced at them and gave them an instant roast. He roasted them instantly with the microwave of his glance, and they became instant pile of ashes, 60,000 sons. So then his father said, "What am I going to do with this big pile of ashes? That was my family." And they said, "Well, if you can get these ashes mixed up with the Ganga, then your sons will get liberated." So he said, "But the Ganga is way up there in the heavenly planets. How will I get the Ganga to come here?" "So you can pray." So he started doing tapasya and praying. And then Lord said, "All right, we will send the Ganga," or the Ganga appeared and said, "I'll come here, but I'm not a lightweight. I'm very heavy, very powerful. Ma Ganga. Ma Ganga ki. Who will catch me when I come to this planet?" And then he was thinking, "I don't know." And then Shiva came forward to help his devotee. He said, "I will catch." So then Ganga comes in his hair and he pulls like this. Ganga comes out. Gangotri. And then King Bhagirathi, he proceeded, Ganga followed him across the plains of India to Ganga Sagar, to where his sons were cremated. And as soon as the ashes were thrown in the Ganga, immediately they got liberated. So that's what it says. If someone simply prays his whole life, "Oh my Lord, please give me the opportunity to serve you," then at the time of death, he'll chant Narayan. And someone will cremate his body, and his ashes will end up in the Ganga. Even if he dies in Madhya Pradesh, the ashes can still end up in the Ganga. Because people put them in a box, take them to the Ganga. Jumuna Maharani ki. Tabe haya mukta sarva bandara vinash. Mukta haile hai se govindera das. He then, after He chants Narayan at the time of death, his ashes enter the Ganga. Then he attains liberation, being freed from all bondage. Sarva Pandera Vinash. When one is thus liberated, he becomes a servant of Govinda. Evakya Kare Bashyakarera Samaj Mukta Sava Lila Tano Kari Krishna Bhaje. The explanation of those who comment on the scriptures is that liberated souls accept bodies suitable for the Lord's pastimes and engage in the worship of the Lord. And then there's the verse 473. Vrindavanas Thakur is actually quoting Sridhar Swami's commentary on 1087.21. Mukta api lilaya vigraham kritva bhagavantam bhajate. Eternally liberated persons accept bodies suitable for the Lord's pastimes and engage in his worship. So this is then a conclusion. He says, Vrindavana says, Ataeva bhaktahaya ishvara saman bhaktistane parabhava mane bhagavan. Therefore devotees are as good as the Supreme Lord. The Lord agrees to be defeated by his devotees. On that note, we'll close the class with a kirtan.